Well, again, my name is Father Greg Peterson. I'm your new pastor. It's great to be with you all today. And as I mentioned last weekend, that the next 4 weeks in the liturgy, we're going through the book of Colossians. And 4 weeks, and there's only four chapters in the book of Colossians. And so I'd ask you all to spend just your time in Scripture for one that week, just one chapter for the next 4 weeks. And so hopefully you've been able to do that. So you've been preparing a bit for Colossians chapter 1, which is what we're going to focus on today. And if somehow you missed that or you didn't be part of that, hopefully this will give you a good intro so that then this week coming up, you can spend time in Colossians chapter 1 and maybe even start with chapter 2 to get ready for next time. As far as introducing myself and all those good things, I spent a lot of time doing that last week. So I really encourage you to listen to the homily from last week, which normally is on the website. I know they had a little trouble with that. Hopefully they'll get it up this week. But it went out on the flock notes. You can check that out. So it'll be fun for you to hear my story and get to know me a little bit. So, all right. So with that said, so here's just a few principles to start this series that we want to do. So number one is, one principle is if you don't know the letters of the New Testament, you really don't know who you are as a Christian and what it means to be a Christian. The reason why that is because even though the Gospels are the center of the liturgy and the words of Christ in the Gospels are so central to our knowledge of Him and our faith of Him, and the Gospels are wonderful and we stand, and that's so fantastic, but 99% of the Gospels that you hear in the liturgy is before the death, resurrection, and of Jesus Christ and the descending of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of the church as we know it. So everything, when you hear the apostles, you just hear them. They never know what they're doing or where they're going and anything about Jesus. And you think, oh, well, that's what it means to be a disciple, right? I guess that's, so no, not at all. Because after that moment, they're like, I know exactly who I am. I know exactly what Jesus has done for me. I know exactly how to change the world now. I know exactly how much of the Holy Spirit is inside of me. And that's actually who you are. But if you don't know it from the letters of the New Testament, you're going to miss so much of it. So as my kids, I want to make sure you know who you are in Christ and that you are guided by the fullness of the Catholic faith, guided by the fullness. And the big part of that is your identity in Christ, which you get primarily through the letters of the New Testament, not just the gospel. So again, they're both ends. We need both ends. So that's why I like to highlight the letters a lot. And then the second principle is this. It's sort of the opposite of good parenting, okay? So normally, good parenting, let's say, I'll take the parenting piece out of it. Parents, you'll get the analogy of it. So let's say to this morning, I was going to say, hey, when you leave today, you all get donuts today on your way out, you know? And everyone's going to be like, oh, that's great. You know, you get donuts on the way out, and that's great. Okay, good. Okay. But it wouldn't be helpful if before I said that, I said, hey, guess what? You know what we were going to do? We were going to give you guys steak and lobster on your way out today, and we were going to give everybody $100, and we were going to have confetti, and every 10th one of you is going to get a new car, and we had all these great ideas, but you know what? We just weren't able to do any of that, and so, but you can get a donut on the way out if you want. So normally, the good parenting is you don't tell them everything they're missing. You just give them what they get, and they're excited about it, right? Okay. But the reason why I'm highlighting that is as much as we love the Holy Mother Church and the way that she chooses the readings and the Mass and everything like that, I want you to realize how much you're missing by only getting little bits and pieces of Scripture at the Mass, okay? Because you actually can go home and receive all that, right? So it'd be like me saying, okay, well, we couldn't do the steak and lobster and the $100 bills and the free car, but we can send it to your home if you want it delivered to you. So that's what I'm trying to do is open this up to you so you can see, whoa, it's great what we get in the Mass, but there's so much more, and I want all that more, okay? So that's what we're doing. So those two principles, okay. So with that said, let's just go ahead and dive in. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to be using the RSV, Catholic edition, and so let's just begin. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, so Paul and Timothy, they're writing this letter, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ at Colossae. So remember, if you've been baptized, you are a saint, which means you're a holy one who's been set apart. You already are a saint. If you've been baptized, you're a holy one who's been set apart. Okay, to the church at Colossae, or we could say to the church in Littleton. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Now, here we go. Here's some of the beautiful heart message of St. Paul. And he's speaking to you as well. It says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have for all the saints, right? So all those in the church. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, right? So they've heard the gospel message, they're responding to it, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing. So among yourselves, from the day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth, as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is our faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Right? So these beautiful things he's praying. He said, wow, you guys are doing so great. You're doing wonderful things here, right? So receive that. Now we get to the first humongous golden nugget. This is one of the best parts of all of Scripture. When a man is ordained a priest, he's allowed to have a little holy card and with a picture on it, and it says his name and his ordination date, and he gives it to people so that they'll pray for him. So when I did that, I had a bunch of scriptures because I wanted people to pray for me a lot, and I put Colossians 9 through 13. I said, this is what I want people praying this for me all the time. Okay? So listen to this. And the reason why this is so important is because if I were to ask you and say, okay, hey, I need you to just pray for yourself for 5 minutes. Most Catholics are going to run out of things to say in about 30 seconds. And then they'll just keep praying for good health over and over and over again. Okay? Right? Or if I say, I need you to pray for your kids for five minutes. Or I need you to pray for our government leaders for 5 minutes. Again, a lot of times people just, they run out of things to say real fast. So listen to some of these amazing things that the Lord wants for you and for me. And so from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So again, that's just verses 9 through 13. Now let me do a couple of examples for you here as your dad. I want to show you, run a few drills. So I'm going to show you how to pray for yourself from these verses, okay? And I'm going to show it in two different ways. One, I'm going to show you using everything that's written there. And then another way, I'm going to show how to take one part of it and just magnify it, okay? But when you learn how to pray for yourself, that means you can also pray for others, by the way, too. Now, before I even say this, it's important to know, actually, it was a good Catholic. My friend, you know, Father Peter Musset, who was here last week, back when we were in college, I remember he was the one who said, oh yeah, you know, you're supposed to pray for yourself all the time. And I hadn't heard that, and he explained it to me. And then I remember talking to my grandma many years later, and she wasn't Catholic, so we talked about praying for herself. She said, oh no, I can't pray for myself, you know, God's too busy, and you know, everyone else is more important than me, and da-da-da-da-da. And so she thought she was being humble by that approach. And I said, well, Grandma, so you're saying that everyone else in the world needs prayer and you don't. Is that humble? Or is that the most arrogant thing you could ever think? And then the other side of it, though, and I said, and she said, well, you know, but everyone has so much bigger needs than me, and I'm doing kind of okay, and it's like, and I also said to her, I said, oh, so you don't know that God loves you at all. You don't know that he wants to spend time with you. You don't know that he delights in your presence and in your thought. You think he's too busy. You think he's like an absentee dad who's just working at the office and doesn't ever have time for you. That's your image of God. So it's very, very important for you to be able to pray for yourself if you know who you are, if you know that the Lord loves you and he delights in you and that you need prayer, okay? So you now have permission forever to pray for yourself and to pray for yourself really well and really big and really glorious things, because I'm going to show you a few examples. Okay, so let's jump in. And so I'm just going to pray for myself using this, and we'll do this a couple times. All right, so from this first moment, so let's say I was just going to pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I'm just going to begin saying, Heavenly Father, I ask that you would fill me with the knowledge of your will, Lord, that you would give me all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Lord, help me to lead a life worthy of you, fully pleasing to you in every way, that I may bear fruit in all my works and every good work, and that I would increase in the knowledge of God. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen me with all of your power, according to your glorious might, for all endurance, and that I may have patience with joy. Lord, help me to give thanks to you throughout the day, because you have qualified me to share in the inheritance of all the saints. You have delivered me from the dominion of darkness. You have transferred me into the kingdom of your beloved Son, and through him I have redemption, the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Something like that, okay? All right. And I can know everything I just prayed. Do I kind of like, well, and Lord, maybe if those are your will, maybe? Or can I be 100% guaranteed that is God's will for me? Yep. That's God's will for me and for you, right? All those things. And we know it because it's in the Word. So you can now pray big, huge, awesome, amazing, powerful, spirit, scripture-filled prayers for yourself and know that, hey, that's the will of God for me. So it also takes out some of that confusion that we can have sometimes when we pray for other things. Okay, now let me show you one example of just taking the piece of that and magnifying it. Okay, and I'm still going to just model it, praying for myself, and but you can figure out how to pray for that for somebody else. So I'm just going to take one piece here, and I'll just go with patience with joy. So those three words. So I come here, it says, okay, patience with joy. So I'm just going to pray. Okay, so Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All right. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would fill me with patience. Lord, that you would help me to be patient in the morning. Help me to be patient in the afternoon. Help me to be patient at night. Lord, help me to be patient with my family members. Help me to be patient with the people that I live with. Help me to be patient with those that I meet and encounter throughout the day. Lord, help me to be patient with strangers. Help me to be patient with myself, Lord. Help me to be patient with the physical limitations I have. Lord, help me to be patient with the material limitations I have. Help me to be patient with just whatever doesn't go the way that I want it to be. Lord, I pray that you would also fill me with joy, that I would have patience and not just be miserable in the midst of the patience, but that you would fill me with joy. When I have opportunities to be patient, that you would fill me with joy, that I could be loving and joyful to my family. I could be loving and joyful to strangers. I could be loving and joyful even with myself. And Lord, thank you that you give me the spirit of joy and that you delight in me. And that even though I don't do everything perfectly, Lord, that you are patient with me and that you have joy in our relationship. And Lord, help me to remember that and fill me with this joy throughout the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, right? So something like that, okay? So do you see some options you've got? So you can take, you know, one whole section and a whole bunch of things, maybe 12 or 14 things, and pray those for yourself, pray them for your family, pray them for your pastor, pray them for your enemies, all those good things. But also, you might just maybe take one thing, and maybe it's highlighting that, right? One piece. And so those are a few things. So I really encourage you to take that. And this is why when I got ordained, I said, would everyone please pray this for me? Because I would really like to be this. And I need people praying for me for that. Okay. All right. So that's a big, huge gold nugget. Excellent. Let's keep going just a little bit more here. So now we get into the glory of Christ, which we heard today. You know, in him, all things are created, visible and invisible, and all things are created through him and for him, and he holds together all things together. And he's the one who reconciles us, making peace by the blood of his cross, and, you know, all these wonderful things, which we hear actually a lot of these themes in Eucharistic Prayer number 3, which we'll hear today, so keep an eye out for those. Okay, but then here's the other big one nugget that I want to give you from Colossians chapter 1. Now, our beloved Protestant brothers and sisters, they love John 3:16, right? And because they think that some of them think that encapsulates the whole gospel, right? It's short, but that gives you the whole gospel. And it says, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. Okay? All right. Now, as Catholics, we love that verse too. That's wonderful. But as Catholics, we know, hey, there's actually more to the gospel than that. That's actually a little bit too simplified. So, Colossians, you get two verses, verses 21 and 22, and you get a still compact, but a more full gospel presentation. Are you ready? Okay. And here's Paul speaking to the church. He says this. He says, "And you, who once were estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him." Verse 23 here, "provided that you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you heard." So just two or three verses, and you get a compact but more understanding that he saves us from our sin, that we all come to the Lord on our own with just our wickedness and our rebellion and all that stuff. But he, through the salvation, through what he did on the cross, through his flesh, through his blood, he was able to take our sin and bring it down to hell where it belongs and rise again. And so he's the one who's able to now, through the grace of baptism, through the grace of confession, through the grace of believing and being active disciples, we're now able to be, okay, our sins have been forgiven. We've been made holy and blameless and irreproachable in his sight, provided that we continue and stay steady, right? So that's what Catholics call, we're continuously, actively living our faith. We're actively in a state of grace, right? So also you can say, yeah, and Paul said that. So there you go. Okay, so there's the good little mini Catholic version of the gospel if you need. Okay, just a couple of other highlights and then we'll end here. So, and just a few other things, a few nuggets. Chapter 1, it says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, because in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, the church." So just right there, we know that any suffering you go through, it's not wasted. But if you offer that up as a prayer, God can use that in a powerful way. And you are connected to the sufferings of Christ for the body of the church. So just know that all of your suffering has meaning. And we just heard it in that one verse. And if you don't know that, your suffering is going to be a lot harder to deal with. But if you know that your sufferings unite you to the cross of Christ and actually have spiritual power when you offer it, then that's going to change your whole life. So, okay, that's a good one right there. And it says we want to make the word of God fully known. Yes, the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So again, Christ in you is the hope of glory. We hope for glory. We know that heaven's going to be glorious, but also the hope of glory, even to see what God can do in your life here on earth. He says, "For this I toil, striving with all the energy which he mightily inspires within me." Right? And sometimes I get tired, so I need to remember to toil mightily with the energy that the Lord gives me. And so there's chapter 1. So that's a lot of the steak and the lobster and the free $100 bills and the free car and everything that you didn't get at Mass otherwise, right? So hopefully I'm showing you, oh man, we could have had all that. Well, it can be delivered to your home if you'd like every day if you just will read the scriptures here. So, all right. Well, this is a beautiful introduction to Colossians chapter 1. I hope at the very least you learned how to pray more and easily, right? And once you get familiar with that, then you can just kind of spontaneously pray that way too. But, you know, sometimes it takes a while to learn it. Pray for you, pray for your family, pray for your enemies, pray for your priests, please. But just mostly enjoy your relationship with Jesus. Enjoy all that he's done for you. Receive all that he's done for you. That's just so key. So, all right, well, we thank the Lord for Colossians. We look forward to hearing more about chapter 2, and we just ask for all these graces that we prayed for ourselves and for our families.